Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Lamed Gimel 11 lines from the top. The first one, a line, Chizra. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our notes, a Nosei and Mivneh. Nosei is the topic heading and Mivneh, structural note, combined into one note. You'll notice in the Gemara we have marked an Aleph and Beis along the side of the Gemara text. These represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions, Beshimush Be'etz, Shalolu Tzorach Hasoka, the use of wood that's for non-fuel purposes. Of course, use of wood on Yom Tov, Kagon Kishpud or Ke'ud as a spit or as a poker. We turn to the Gemara, Chizra. Chizra is a branch, has a pointy branch that would be suitable for piercing, let's say, a piece of meat for roasting purposes. Rav Nachman Osar Rav Sheshes Shori. Rav Nachman says you cannot use the branch for that, to serve as a spit, and Rav Sheshes says you can. Notice again, we pointed out before, two Lishonos in the Gemara. Beretiva, a fresh branch, kuli alma lo pligi da oser. Everyone would agree, even Rav Sheshes would agree, it's forbidden. Ki pligi biabeshta. The machlokes concerns a dry branch. Man de osar, Rav Nachman who prohibits, Omar loch, he will tell you, lo nitnu etzim elo lahasoka. Wood is given for Yom Tov use, only for fuel purposes. Otherwise, it's muktza. It's forbidden to move around. After all, you didn't convert it into a kli, a vessel, from before Yom Tov. The Gemara continues, Uman Deshori, Rav Sheshes, who is lenient, Omar Loch, Ma li litzlois boi, Ma li litzlois begachalosoi. What difference does it make whether I'm using the wood as fuel and benefit from gachalosu, from the coal that's formed, or I use the wood in roasting to hold the meat? In other words, once I'm allowed to use the wood in the branch in the context of roasting, it doesn't matter whether I'm using it as a spit or as a coal. Now, we didn't emphasize before, but the retiva, the fresh branch, you see, everyone agrees that's usur because it's not, has no relevance as fuel. Dry wood burns, not fresh wood. The Gemara continues, Ika di Amri, another version, actually it's a more lenient approach, Biaveshta, a dry branch, kuli amalo pligi deshori. Everyone will agree, even Rav Nachman will agree, you can use a dry, pointy branch on Yom Tov as a spit. Ki pligi biretivta. The machlokas concerns a fresh branch. Manda osar, Rav Nachman who prohibits, the lo chazi lasok, it's not fit for fuel. It's not something that people use as fuel. It's fresh, it's damp, it doesn't burn well. Uman deshori, Omar Loch, Rav Sheshes, who allows, he will explain, ha chazi lahesik godol. You can throw a fresh branch into a large, intense bonfire. What happens there, since the fire is very strong, the fresh branch gets dried out and then obviously becomes dry in the confines of the fire, of the bonfire, and continues to serve as fuel. So the fresh branch does have a connection to fuel in the context of a hesek godol, a large fire. V'hilchasa, the Gemara rules, yaveshta shori, retivta oser. This would seem to match the approach taken by Rav Sheshes in the first Loshon. Dorash Rava. Rava teaches, you'll see, has a teaching that's based on the approach of Reb Yehuda to the realm of Muktzah, that there is a Muktzah restriction. So Rava teaches, Isha lo tikones ledir ho'etzim litol mehen ud. A woman should not enter the wood storage facility to take from there a piece of wood to serve as an oud, a poker. And Rashi explains the reason is that wood is used for fuel, not for some other purpose, unless, of course, it was designated or made into that item from before Yom Tov. The oud shenishbar osur lasiko b'Yom Tov, a poker that broke on Yom Tov, you cannot use it as fuel. Once again, it wasn't designed for fuel at the point Yom Tov set in. It broke on Yom Tov, so as Yom Tov set in, it was designed to be a poker. It broke on Yom Tov, it still has poker status and not fuel status. Lefi shemasikin bekelim, one can use vessels for fuel. You can burn something that's a kli. V'ein masikin b'shivrei kelim, but you cannot use vessels that broke on Yom Tov that weren't designated as fuel at the entrance of Yom Tov. On the other hand, something that was a vessel at the onset of Yom Tov, so it was something you were allowed to move around. And in that context, so you moved it around and dropped it into the fire. That's okay. But something that at the entrance of Yom Tov was not, had one status, and its status changed during Yom Tov, in the case of a vessel that broke on Yom Tov, and now its purpose is only that of fuel, but at the entrance of Yom Tov it wasn't designated as fuel, hence you cannot use it on Yom Tov as fuel. Lameimra de Rava Karabuta Svirale, is this to suggest then that Rava holds like Rebuta the Islay Muktza, that accepts the restriction of Muktza, the items that were not designated as such at the entrance of Yom Tov are not allowed to be moved around. So does Rava subscribe to that? V'ha Omar Le Rava L'Shamei. Rava has been heard to say to his Shamei, his servant, Tovi Li Bar Avza, V'shodi Me'eha L'Shunra. Roast for me an Avza, a fowl, and throw its innards to the cat. Now Rashi explains, V'shodi me'alu shunra, hashech be'mayim lechatul. Rabbi Yehuda osu letatlo lesita lechatul. According to the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, it would be also to move to move around the innards to give to a cat. The me'esmo muchon la'odom hoyev alola klovim. At the onset of Yom Tov, this was part of the fowl that was designated for person consumption, not for animal consumption. De Ka'omar, as he said, im lo hoisen avelim erev Shabbos asura. Rabbi Yehuda said that if an animal was not dead from erev Shabbos, and a dead animal, dead bird, okay, so it's dead, it wasn't shechted. If it was dead already, erev Shabbos, it was designated for animal eating at the onset of Shabbos. But here we have, it wasn't dead. On the onset of Yom Tov. At the onset of Yom Tov, this creature was designated for human consumption. So how can you pick up the innards and feed it to a cat when, as far as that is concerned, it wasn't designated for animal consumption? The Gemara answers, Hosam kevon de misruchi me esmol daiti ole. With regard to the innards, let us say you have a person that is not has no intention of eating the innards of the fowl. What's his only other option then? If you're going to not leave it, not give it immediately to the cat, so his only option is to leave it over till the next day, till after Yom Tov. It'll go bad though, it'll rot by the next day. Therefore, knowing all of this ahead of time, at the onset of Yom Tov, knowing that he's not going to eat the innards, and he's not going to be able to leave the innards till after Yom Tov, he already has in mind at the onset of Yom Tov that the innards will be given to his cat. Therefore, there is no element of muktzah, because it was prepared, the intention was in place already at the onset before Yom Tov set in. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Mishnah. And we should point out on the side we have a topic heading. We will see now Machloikis Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim regarding Me'efo Nitan Lekachas Eitzim B'Yom Tov. From where can one pick up wood on Yom Tov? Le'ezeh Shimush Mutan. For what use is the wood allowed? We will also see the Isur of Moilid Eish and Libun Ra'ofim, the prohibition of creating a fire as opposed to transferring a fire from a pre-existing fire. In simple terms, the issue of striking a match. And Libun Ra'ofim has to do with heating up roof tiles. Ra'ofim are tiles that are associated at times with a type of roofing material, but we can refer to that specifically of heating up these tiles, and we'll see about why would people do that. We now read the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Noitel Odom Kesam Mishelefonov Lachzois Boy Shinov. A person can pick up a twig from in front of him, and Rashi adds, from in front of him isn't to be taken literally, it means from his chotzer as well, for the purpose of using it as a lachzus boshinov, a toothpick. And the point that we want to emphasize is that even if it's not for fuel purposes, this is allowed. Umegabev min hachotzer, that's to collect twigs and straw from his chotzer, umadlik, and use it as fuel. Shekol ma shebechotzer muchon hu. Everything that's in the chotzer is considered prepared. There is a comment made in Rashi. Lachzos boshinov. Rashi, you see under the Mishnah commentary in the water lines of the Rashi, litoil bosar chotzitz boshinov, to remove strands of meat that get stuck between one's teeth, and he quotes a French word for that. Umishelefonov lav dafka. The word mishelefonov means from in front of him. It's not literally from in front of him. To the rabbis, raf min achotzer nami. For as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, he can collect from the courtyard as well. He says that anything that's in the courtyard is available, is prepared. The point of the Mishnah and the Reisha is to tell me that you're allowed to move wood even for non-fuel purposes. The Iflug Rabbanan, both Lakhaman, but Brisa, but Gemara. The Rabbanan argue on that point later in the Brisa. For Adar Nagam Mishalfonov, the term Mishalfonov is chosen, Mishun Rabbanan, the Pligi of Filim Mishalfonov, Lahadlik in Lachzis Lo. It's only anticipation of the Sheet of the Rabbanan that say that even Mishalfonov, you're only allowed to take wood or twigs for fuel purposes alone and not as a toothpick. We continue in the Mishnah. V'chachomim oimrim, megabev mishelefonov umadlik. You're allowed to collect twigs only from your house, not from the chotzer, not from the courtyard, and madlik, and use it as fuel for lighting, and not as a toothpick. So you see a double stringency on the part of the Chachamim. Ein motzien esaur. This concept of motzien esaur means to create a fire from anew. So one does not do that. Lo min ha'etzim, v'lo min ha'avonim, v'lo min ha'ofar, v'lo min ha'mayim. Not from rubbing wood together, nor from rubbing stones together, nor from ofar. Rashi describes some type of very hard earth that when you dig into it, you can create a spark which would create a fire. And v'lo min ha'mayim, not from water. So this has to do with what I would like to call the magnifying glass principle. But Rashi explains this is a case where someone fills up a vessel with water, and the sun rays that hit this vessel and penetrate the water create an intense level of heat that's capable of creating a fire. V'ein melabnin es hara'ofim litzlos bohem. Nor is one allowed to fire up these tiles for roasting upon them. Omar Rav Yehuda. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, and we continue with Rav Yehuda's halacha, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, where we've written Dino Shel Rav Yehuda. We're going to see the halacha of Rav Yehuda. The macholim shel behema, food that's designated for animals, animal food, straw, stubble, that type of thing. Ein bohem mishum tikun kli. There is no restriction of forming it into a vessel. Moshal yitzirus kesem lachzis boshinaim, to take animal straw and make it into use it as a toothpick. HaGemara makshe al dinoi mibraisa shedona ba'atzei besomim. The Gemara will raise a question on Shitas Rav Yehuda from a Tanaic source that deals with fragrant wood. Shebo katoni, in the source it tells me, the imkotmoi lasa shinav chayav, that if one splits the fragrant branch for the purpose of using it as a toothpick, one would be in violation of a Torah-level offense. Umitaretzes, and we mentioned this was raised as a question, and the Gemara will answer. So we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Oichle behema, food that's for animals, like we said, straw and reed leaves. Ein bohem mishum tikun kli. One is not in violation of forming a vessel if he takes these items and snaps them or cuts them or trims them into a shape that's useful for a toothpick. A question, it lasts a number of lines. Eisvei Rav Kahana, the Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana raises challenges Rav Yehuda from the following Tanaic source, and I have to emphasize that the question appears at the end of the source. Metatalin atzei besomim, one can move around fragrant wood lahariach bohem, to inhale, to smell them, to enjoy the fragrance. Ulahanif bohen lechoyla, and to fan a person who is ill, to fan him, to reduce the heat. Umolulo umriach bo. Molulo is to rub the wood between your fingers to enable the scent to be perceived. Velo yikatmenu lariach bo. One should not snap the fragrant branch in order to smell it. V'imkotmoi potor avol also. But if one did so he is exempt from a Torah violation, but nevertheless, rabbinically, it's forbidden. Now, the source is telling me not to snap it, because even though you're snapping it for smelling purposes, we impose a rabbinic restriction unto a case where one might snap it to form it into a toothpick, which would be an isur d'oraisa. That already is a problem for Rav Yehuda. The source goes on and spells this out. Lachzis boshinov lo yiktamenu, to snap the branch for making it into a toothpick, one shall not do. V'im kot mochayev chatas, and if one does so, he is chayav a chatas. That's considered Torah level violation. He'd be obligated if he does so b'shogeg, unknowingly, he'd be chayav, he'd be obligated to bring a sin offering in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Iker information must be spelled out. We wrote in between the lines that there are fragrant woods that animals eat. So we have an example here of oichle behema, food that animals eat, animal-type food, that if it's formed into lasis bashinov and formed into a toothpick, he would be in violation of a Torah-level offense. Now, take note, Rav Yehuda said you have total license, perfectly allowed to use the oichle behema and form it into a toothpick. Totally allowed. And we have this source that says it's strictly forbidden even on a Torah level. Very extreme difference. Rav Yehuda now answers. So somewhat sounds like a roundabout type answer, but you'll see it's an answer. Omar Lay, Rav Yehuda says, Hashta, Potter Aval Osir Kokashya Li. That means, in theory, if you would have found a source that said that the toothpick making from animal feed is rabbinically prohibited, even that would be a question on me. I said it is allowed, totally allowed. We have a source that says it's usur midoraisa. Rav Yehuda is saying, if you would have found a source that says it's usur even rabbinically, that would have been a problem for me. Chayav chatos mibaya. A source that says it's Torah prohibited, all the more so. But rather, there is no question to begin with. Elo ki tanyo hahi bekashin. The source that prohibited, that was with animal feed, but it's dry. And my din is dry and hard. My din was concerning soft, pliable, fragrant branches. The Gemara asks, Koshin b'nei melila ninhu? Hard branches, are they subject to what the source taught, rubbing between one's fingers? So we have a little arrow you can see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see that the source spoke about using the atzei besamim, the fragrant branches, to enjoy the smell, you rub it between your fingers. Now, what Rav Yehuda seems to be doing is setting up the sources, dealing with kushin. But kushin don't lend themselves to moiluloi, to rub it between your fingers. So how can you say the source is talking about kushin to get out of the problem? Rav Yehuda answers, chasuri mechaser v'achi katani. The source above was abbreviated, and you have to add in some understanding and understand it thusly. Moiluloi umariach boi. Koitmoi umariach boi. Fragrant branches you can rub and smell, you can snap them and smell them, even lechatchila, like Rav Yehuda. Bamedva mamurim, berakin. That's if they are soft and pliable and fresh. Avol bekoshin, but hard, dry branches, lo yiktamenu, you shall not snap them. Din katmoi poter avol osur. If you did so, you would be in violation of a rabbinic prohibition. So if you kutmo, if you did it lihoria for smelling purposes, that would be a rabbinic prohibition, a violation. Lachsus b'shinav lo yiktamenu. However, to use it as a toothpick, you certainly shall not snap it. The cushion, the dry atzei besamim, the im kutmoi chayav chatos. And if you did that, you snap the dry, fragrant branch in order to use as a toothpick, that would be a Torah-level prohibition, the violation of making a vessel. As we go on, we have some double underlining, and that draws our attention to the note on the side, the Mivneh. We will present Shnei Mekoros, two sources, two Tanaic sources, Sheniroi Soisrois Be'inyan Atzei Besamim, Imuter Liktoim Lariach. Two sources that seem to contradict one another regarding snapping them, snapping the branch and smelling them. The diamonds that you see represent Yishuvim Lehanal, responses to the above-mentioned contradiction. We continue in the Gemara. The first double underline, Tani Chada, one source says, Koitmoi Umariachboi. You can snap the branch and smell it. V'tanidach lo yiktamenu l'orechbo. You cannot do that. Omer Vizero, Omer Avchisto, loy kashya. There is no contradiction. Ha berakin, ha bekashin. If they're soft and pliable, you're allowed to snap it as lichatchila. If they're not, they're hard, then it's forbidden. Maskif lo Rav Acho bar Yankiv. Note, by the way, this is the beginning of a long question, and that will be followed by a long answer, to be followed again by a question. So the long question begins, Maskif lo Rav Acho bar Yankiv, Bekashin amaylo, with the hard branches. They're hard, they're firm. Why not? Maishno mehodisnan. What's the difference between that, where you're snapping a hard branch for smelling purposes, and the following source? Shoiver odom esechovis, lechol mimena grogros. One can smash open the seal of a barrel in order to get out of it some dried figs for eating. Ubavad shaloi yiskavein lasos kli. Provided you don't have an intention when smashing open the barrel seal, the lid of the barrel, in making a proper opening. Rashi says shaloi yiskavein lapis hashvir lios lo lepesh etay od kli. In other words, when you smash open the barrel, you smash it with the intention of simply smashing it open and not having the opening serve as a vessel. So what do we see? We see that you have something that, if you have the wrong intention, it would be prohibited. But the same action, we're allowing the action of smashing it open anyway, even though there's the potential for having a wrongful intention resulting. Just like we saw with regard to the hard branches. Why then would you assert the hard branch? True, the hard branch could be snapped open with the intention of using it as a toothpick. But as long as you have a proper mindset, you're snapping it open to smell it, it should be all right. Just like over here, smashing open the barrel with the intention of simply getting to the contents of the barrel. The oid ha rava bar rav ado, the rovin bar rav ado, the ami travayu. They both say, ki havinon be rav Yehuda, when we were at the yeshiva of Rav Yehuda, Have mafshich v'yoyiv lon alusa alusa. He split. Mafshich is to split open a branch from a large tree. That the branch was disconnected, of course, from the tree. And he gave us these sticks, alusa alusa sticks, in order to smell them. Afalgav dechazio lekatsa denagi v'chatsini. Even though these large sticks could have been used as handles for different types of cutting devices, different types of hatchets, nargi v'chatsini. So what do we see? We see the action of cutting off from a large branch, cutting off sticks, for the purpose of smelling them, even though there was an alternative use that one could have had in mind, which would have been, of course, forbidden. You can't make axe handles on Yom Tov. But that didn't stop Rav Yehuda from allowing the breaking off of the branches from the larger branch in order to smell it. So therefore, we still have our two sources above that we noted as Aleph and Beis, and we don't have a reasonable answer. The distinction between Rakin and Kashim doesn't seem to hold up. The Gemara answers, note again, a long answer, Ha Rebbe Lozer, Ha Rabbonon, Desanya. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Noitel Odom, Kesa Mishelefonov, Lachzois Boishinov. V'chachomim omrim lo yitol elo me'evus shel behema. Rebbe Lozer says, you can take a twig from in front of you to clean your teeth, to serve as a toothpick. The chachomim say, you're not allowed to take elo me'evus. Evus is a feeding trough which has in it items that are fit for animal consumption. So being that it's straw or different reed leaves, items that are fit for animal consumption, so they're available, since animals, of course, are allowed to eat, they're available for all other purposes. Now, this is in contrast to eitzim, in contrast to twigs. V'shavin, there's agreement, shelo yiktamenu, that you should not snap the branch. V'im kotmo ilasas v'shino v'luftoch bo hadeles, if you did snap the branch, the twig, as to become a toothpick. There's a difference, of course, between what we saw on the two lines above of picking up a twig as is and using it as a toothpick versus snapping it to form a toothpick. That's v'im kotmo lasa v'shino for the v'tobo adelos, or to use it as a makeshift key for opening a door. B'shoigeg b'shabes chayev chatos. The mazid beyond of Sophagus or Aboyim de Rebbe Lozer. We see that Rebbe Lozer is viewing the snapping of the branch as something that is an Isur de Oraisa. If you do it on Shabbos Beshogeg unknowingly, you have to bring a sacrifice, a sin offering. If you do it on Yom Tov knowingly, knowing that it's prohibited, do it anyway, so you'll be liable to receiving 40 lashes. V'chachomim omrim echod zeh, whether it be Shabbos or Yom Tov, eino elo mishum shivus. It is purely rabbinically prohibited. So now let's take this information, Rebbe Lozer, who is more restrictive than the Chachamim, and then apply their shitos to the two sources we saw above regarding snapping branches for smelling purposes. Rebbe Lozer de Komar Hossam Chayev Chatas. Rebbe Lozer, who said in snapping a branch with the intention of forming a vessel, a toothpick, would result in a Chiyuv Chatas, meaning it's a Torah level violation. Hacha, in the source above that we marked as Beis, Potter Avalosser. He'll tell you when you're snapping it with a non-vessel intention, but you're snapping it for smelling purposes, so it goes like one notch down, and it becomes usur, however, only midrabbonan. Rabbonan, de ko'amri hasam potter aval usur, the rabbonan who disagreed with Rebbe Lozer in the source two lines above, who said that snapping it even for vessel-making intentions is only rabbinically prohibited, Hacha, when it comes to a less severe intention, namely just to snap it for smelling purposes, mutter lechatchila. So that Brisa that we marked above as Brisa Aleph would be in accordance with the Rabbanan. So as we saw in answer diamond number two, the two sources that we marked above with the double underlines, Aleph and Beis, they represent the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer respectively. Question lasts a couple of lines. Does Rebbe Lezer not hold from the following? Now Rebbe Lezer, as far as we have seen so far, he doesn't have any instance of permission as a first choice, as we call mutar lechatchila, allowed as a first choice. This whole realm of snapping and breaking things, he doesn't seem to allow anything as a first choice, allow breaking as a lichatchila. Ah, what about the following? Does Rebbe Lezer not hold from the following? Relesle Rebbe Lezer hold esnan. Does Rebbe Lezer not agree with the following teaching? Shoiver odom esachovis lechol mimeno grogros. Uvavachli iskaving lasos kli. We saw this source above. that one is allowed to smash open a barrel or a barrel cover in order to withdraw from the barrel the dried figs, provided you don't have the intention of converting that barrel cover into a nice vessel with a smooth opening to it. Just smash it completely. Well, according to Rebbe Elazar, are you going to tell me then that this he wouldn't agree with this? So the Gemara answers, Omar of Ashi, Ki Tanya Hahi, the source regarding smashing open of the barrel, the Mustaki. Mustaki means a barrel made of shards, of broken pieces that were pasted together. So the whole barrel itself is not really a full-fledged, complete vessel in the sense that it's a firm, strong barrel. Rather, it's made of pieces, of broken pieces that were pasted together. Rashi says they used tree sap as paste. And therefore, it's not, since it's a weak type vessel to begin with, there's no reason or no basis of imposing a rabbinic restriction, worrying that he might come to make it into a vessel. He wouldn't come to make this into a vessel. So there's no, let's say, second stage or additional level of worry that is relevant. However, when it comes to branches that could be made into useful toothpicks, Rebbe Elazar will tell you, don't break it even if your intention is for merely smelling it. And that, as we explained, was an Iser Durabonon. And he holds that because if you were to break it for the purpose of making into a toothpick, that would constitute a Torah-level violation. The Chachamah, on the other hand, said that we'll call that the worst-case scenario of taking the branch and breaking and snapping it to form a toothpick would itself be only an Isur Derabbanan and only a rabbinic prohibition. Therefore, the less severe case of snapping it for smelling purposes will be allowed lechatchila as a first choice. Umegabev min hachotzer. This was mentioned in the Mishnah, the collection of wood from a courtyard. Tana Rabbanan Megabev min hachotzer umadlik. One can gather twigs from his courtyard and use it as fuel and light it. Shekoma shebachotzer muchan hu. Everything that's in a courtyard is considered prepared. Obovad shel yaseh tzivurin tzivurin. Provided you don't gather and make piles and piles of twigs. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. B'mai komitlgi, what's the basis of this machlokes, of this controversy? Mor sovar mechsi de komachnif lemochliu machrina. The Tanakam was more restrictive, says it appears that he's gathering, machnif is to gather together, for the next day, for after Yom Tov and a day after that, and of course you're not allowed to engage on Yom Tov in activities for after Yom Tov. Umar sovar kedei rosso mochachasalov. Rabbi Shimon says, let him gather and even make piles. The fact that he's cooking today, the kederosa means his pot. His pot proves that his wood interest is for cooking, which is a Yom Tov permitted activity. So there's no reason to restrict making piles of twigs either. Ein motzien es ha'ur v'chulei. My taima, why not? Why does not one create the fire through the we call the magnifying glass approach, or the glass filled with water that the Mishnah mentioned. Mishum de kamoylid biyomtov. You're making something from anew, from afresh. Moylid is taking is creating something that wasn't there before. There's a difference between, in our example we mentioned, striking a match versus transferring fire from a pre-existing fire that was lit from before Yom Tov. There, the fire was present, and you're simply adding by lighting something else from that fire, as opposed to taking a match where there was no fire to begin with and striking the match. That is not allowed. That's called moilid. We've seen the word nolad already at the beginning of this Masechta, and that is anathema to Yom Tov. V'aim melavnin esor ofen. The Mishnah spoke about the prohibition of firing up piles. My ka'ovid, what is the problem in firing up a tile? After all, the Mishnah spoke about firing up tiles in order to use them for roasting things. Can you imagine a fired up tile and then pouring, let's say, some pancake batter over it? It would form a pancake, or an omelet would definitely get roasted on a red hot, on a fired up hot tile. So why is that prohibited on Yom Tov when cooking is allowed? So my ka'ovid, what is he doing that's wrong? Omar Rabo Bar Barchana Omar B'Yochanan Hachabur Ofim Chadoshim Askinan. Here the Mishnah is talking about newly formed tiles. Mipnei, and we continue at the top of Lamed Aleph Mar Aleph. Mipnei Shitzorach Levodkan. The Amri Law. Another version of the problem is Mipnei Shitzorach Lechasmon. We take a look at the Rashi at the top, who explains what is the problem. Shitzorach Levodkan. A brand new tile that has never been fired up before has to be checked out. The Levodkan is to check it out. Im yuchal lekabel libunon. Can it maintain the intense heat? Can it withstand the intense heat and not crack? Hilkuch b'yom tov lo. Therefore, on Yom Tov, don't do as its initial firing up, its initial trial, if you will, on Yom Tov. Dilma paki. It might crack. Vishtakach t'torach shelo l'tzorach. And then, retroactively, you see that his firing up of the tile was for no Yom Tov need, no Yom Tov use. And so that's a violation of Yom Tov, to do actions that are not necessary for the benefit of Yom Tov day. The other version is that is that the initial firing up of the tile actually strengthens it. It makes it into a kli. So that even though you're firing up for Yom Tov purposes, but at the same time, it is becoming now a vessel. It's becoming useful. And that is usur. It's also to make a vessel on Yom Tov. Tanan Hosom. It's taught there in Maseches Chulin, which deals in part with laws of treifas. This is where an animal or a bird is rendered unfit because of a type of, let's say, organ or physiological deficiency. It's not suitable for kosher eating. The source describes a person who threw a bird onto a hard surface, or he trampled it. Dorsa osha torfa bakosli, trampled a bird or threw it onto a wall. Oshirotsosa behema, or an animal trampled it. Umifarchesis, and the bird is still fluttering. Vishasameslais, and it survives 24 hours. Vishachta, and after 24 hours you slaughtered it. Chera, it's okay. In other words, the fear that it was rendered trefa by the impact is alleviated by its surviving 24 hours. Amar Reb Elozer Reb Yanai, Mishum Reb Elozer ben Antignus, Tzricha Bedika. The second opinion here says that even if it did survive the 24 hours, you still have to check out the internal organs to make sure they are intact. As we said, even if it did survive the 24 hours. Bomine Rabirmiom Rabizero. Mao Lishokta Biyomtov. What about a bird like this that survived the 24 hours? Can you slaughter it on Yom Tov? Mi machsikinen reusa biyomtov olo. Do we maintain the reusa? The reusa is the suspicion, the deficiency consideration. Do we maintain that thought on Yom Tov or not? If we look in the Rashi further down on the page, mi machzikin reusa begavo, in it, in the bird, mishum chashash isur melocha biyom tov, with the concern that maybe the slaughtering that I do of the bird will be for non-eating purposes. Dilma mishtakach trefa, I might open it up and find it to be in fact a trefa. V'nimsa shechta shelo l'tzorech. And then retroactively, the slaughtering that I did was for no Yom Tov purpose. I'm not going to be eating it. Granted, other regular animals that we do check out its innards after we slaughter them. We rely on the majority of animals, and the majority are not trefa. Here, though, an additional problem arose through the impact that the animal, that the bird experienced. That's the reus I'll refer to. So do we consider that as a reason for non-slaughtering on Yom Tov? Omar Lay. So the Gemara continues with an answer. Rabbi Zeira answers, Tanina, we have been taught, Ein melabnin esra'ofim litzlois bohen. One does not fire up tiles for roasting on them. Vavinam ba'amai ka'ovid. And we ask, well, what's the problem? V'yomar rabo bar bar chanon Rabbi Yochanan. Hocha b'rofim chadoshim askinon. Here we're dealing with new tiles. They should tzorch levodkan. They need to be checked out whether they can withstand the intense heat. Therefore, don't even start that on Yom Tov. So what do we see? We're machzik reusa. We maintain the problem of their newness, and hence restrict their use on Yom Tov, because you might discover a problem. Likewise, with regard to the slaughtering, you have a bird that experienced the problem of the impact. Don't slaughter it on Yom Tov, because you might discover it to be a trefa. So Rabbi Zeira is basically telling Rabbi Yirmiyah, you have a very direct answer to your question in the form of the mission of Ein Melabnin Esra'ofim. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, no, I can't accept that answer. Anan mitnei shetzorch l'chasmon masninon law. With regard to the Mishnah, I learned the Mishnah and its restriction based on the other hesper, the other explanation of the new tiles. Not that there's a fear they might crack, but they need to be strengthened, and the firing up strengthens them, and the problem of the tiles, therefore, is the problem of asiyas kli, of making a vessel. That is unique to the tile issue, but that doesn't solve my problem concerning the slaughtering of a bird that experienced impact, and then slaughtering it on Yom Tov after it survived the 24 hours since its impact. So Rav Yirmiyah, as far as he is concerned, he remains with his question. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.